What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast. A lot of crazy things going on right now as school is starting to get back in session, with most of us working from home and many of our kids doing online courses from their bedrooms or from the dining room table. And I don't know about you, but this has been a challenge, a strain on my productivity and staying focused on getting things done. And I like to think of myself as a goal-oriented type of person. I'm always trying to become better, do new things, stay as productive and efficient as I possibly can. And it has been, quite frankly, impossible to do that with everything that has happened in the world. And school getting back in session just creates another set of things to have to work through and figure out, because let's be honest, I don't want my kids to fall behind in their education, but I gotta get work done. I don't want to get fired or lose money. And you're probably in a similar situation yourself, whether you have kids or not. You're probably finding this season as a really challenging season to stay productive, to stay focused, to stay on point. So we're gonna talk about it. There have been a few things that we have put in place as a family that have helped a ton. They've been game changer when it comes to helping my kids grow educationally, but at the same time, giving me the space that I need to stay productive and engage in what is called deep work, which if you've read Cal Newport's book, you know that's what we are all after, that deep work where you're in the zone and you are crushing it. Whether you've got kids or not, productivity is a moving target. It's something that you constantly have to be working towards. So no matter where you're coming from, this episode is going to benefit you. I know that it will. Are you ready? Let's do it. The first thing that we need to do is really take a second and define the problem. And most of you are saying, Chris, that's easy. The problem is my kids are distracting me. They are going to class online in the room that is adjacent to me and interrupting me every 30 minutes, either with a technical problem on their computer or within their classroom, or they just don't know how to get something done. And listen, I get it. But here's the deal. Most of the time, the real issues lie just underneath the surface. That's why in relationships, when you get into an argument about putting the toilet seat down, you're not really arguing about putting the toilet seat down, right? There's more to it than that. And so if you really want lasting change or being able to get past this issue, you've got to be sure that you really look at what lies beneath the surface. If you don't, you just put a Band-Aid on it, right? A lot of people do this when it comes to social media, okay? And they've got apps where it blocks out certain sites that you go to, or certain apps can't be used for more than a certain amount of minutes per day or whatever. And those are great tools. But what I have found, if you don't address like what's actually happening in your heart, in your mind, in your process of thinking, like you're gonna find something else to get distracted with, right? You know, like there's always something else that's out there. So if you blame the symptoms and not the root cause, you will forever be trying to figure out how to stay productive. And then this goes on to whether or not you have kids, whether or not you're working from home, or any other situation, right? You've got to take a second and you've got to look at what actually lies beneath the surface. There are two parts to our problem here when it comes to distraction. The first is the obvious. That's the external stuff. That's kids yelling at you. That's, you know, your toilet getting clogged and you having to get up from a meeting and go fix it because you apparently are the only one who knows how to use a plunger in your house. And then there is the internal problem. And that's what's going on the inside of you, right? All the thoughts, all the feelings, all of the emotion that is carried when it comes to trying to do something and stay productive, but being unable to. And there's a lot to both of those, but the more complex one is the internal problem. And to be honest, if you can take care of the internal issues first, the external issues get taken care of a lot more easily. And one of the first internal things that I have had to figure out in myself is something called self-compassion. There's a great book by Nir Eyal called Indistractable, and he talks about a study that they did when it comes to people who had self-compassion. And this is what they found. An individual's level of self-compassion had a greater effect on whether they would develop anxiety and depression than all the usual things that tend to screw up people's lives, like traumatic life events, a family history of mental illness, low social status, or lack of social support. So one of the key things when it comes to staying productive is self-compassion. Let's talk about what we mean by self-compassion. Self-compassion means giving yourself grace when you're not able to get as much done as you would like to get done, or when you mess up intentionally, when it's your own fault. Right? Like there's nobody whose fault it is other than you, and you just decided you're going to go on Facebook and you're not going to do the work that needs to get done. So what they found is that people who are really hard on themselves when it comes to productivity tend to stay in this downward spiral of lack of productivity. You get distracted, you're hard on yourself, so you avoid it and you go to Facebook. Or you avoid it and do something that distracts you from the fact that you're feeling really bad about yourself. And then you get even more frustrated with yourself because now you've spent 30 minutes being distracted and you have to force yourself to get back on track. And the entire time that you're doing that, you're actually distracted thinking about how unproductive and horrible of a person you are. Okay, like this is an exaggeration, but this is kind of the thought process that we go through when we lack self-compassion, when we lack being able to show ourselves grace in the middle of the moment. So there's a few things that can help you when it comes to self-compassion. Number one is something called common humanity. So realize that everybody right now is struggling with productivity. I have not talked to one single person who is just crushing it right now, right? Like we're all struggling a little bit. Kudos to the people who are, right? Like that's fantastic. I'm happy for you. But most of us are in the same situation where we're distracted by all sorts of things, and rightly so, right? None of us have ever experienced a season like this where we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. Life as we know it is very unstable. Plenty of people are without jobs. We don't know whether our cities are going to go back on lockdown, whether the coronavirus cases are going to come up again, whether our kids are going back to school in a month or maybe even this year. Like, who knows? And so all of those things floating around in your head cause you to just be distracted. So it's very common. Most of us deal with it. And knowing that everybody else kind of feels this burden is actually helpful, because it's actually an unhelpful truth to think that you're the only one who is sucking at it right now, right? Like you just think everybody's killing it, but that's not the case. Let me be your shoulder to cry on. We can commiserate. We're all having a hard time. And when you realize that, it allows you to have self-compassion. Another thing to do would be to talk to yourself with your inner monologue as if you were talking to a friend. And I love what Nir Eyal says in his book, Indistractable. If you find yourself listening to that little voice in your head that sometimes bullies you around, it's important to know how to respond. Instead of accepting what the voice says or arguing with it, remind yourself that obstacles are a part of the process of growth. We don't get better without practice, which can be difficult at times. A good rule of thumb become is to talk to yourself the way you might talk to a friend. Since we know so much about ourselves, we tend to be our own worst critics. But if we talk to ourselves the way we help a friend, we can see the situation for what it really is. Telling yourself things like, this is what it's like to get better at something, and you're on your way, are healthier ways to handle self-doubt. So there's a couple of things in that. Number one, don't ignore the fact that you're distracted. It's silly just to wish it away with positive thinking. We all know it's not tough to comprehend we're distracted. We're not getting as much work done as we used to, right? So you don't ignore it. You don't argue with it. You don't make yourself feel bad for it. You look at it for what it is and you say, let's have another thought. Let's think something a little more productive. This isn't a burden to me. This is actually something that's in my life that will help me to grow. And so that leads me to the next thing that is important for the internal struggle that we deal with when it comes to distraction, and that is perspective. Your perspective on how you look at this season will really make a huge difference in how productive you are feeling. At first, I was frustrated. I was mad that I had to work from home and that my kids were interrupting me. But then I began to look at things a little bit differently. I have a 7-month-old, and pretty much from the time that he has been born, I've been working from home. While that's distracting, that's also pretty cool. I've had the opportunity to watch little milestones happen in his life where I would not have had that opportunity had I been going to an office every day. Another part of it is that I can actually be more engaged and interactive when it comes to my kids' schooling and their development. And so I'm able to see things that I've never seen when it comes to their growth. And that helps me as a dad know how to help them grow in the things that they are trying to do. And it's been a lot of fun. And I only say that it's fun after the struggle of saying that this is horrible, right? Like, my perspective has changed. And so my wife and I talk about, we strategize different ways that we can help them learn how to help themselves. And so it becomes like this game. It becomes like a business, the business of helping my kids learn how to do schoolwork on their own without needing my help every 30 minutes. So I want to encourage you to do that yourself. And we talk a lot about gamifying different things that we do as web designers or product designers or developers, right? It makes it fun. So gamify your productivity with your kids. You know, figure out different things that you can do. We've created a chart system for all of our goals and milestones as a family. And when we hit certain milestones, we get prizes, right? One of the prizes is we go get ice cream, right? Nothing crazy. Another prize is that we're going to buy a basketball goal and everybody gets a brand new pair of tennis shoes so that we can be better basketball players, right? But in order to do that, we have to hit certain milestones. So we put milestones that are going to help us keep from being distracted while we're working. So that's just a few ways to do it. There are plenty of other ways, but suffice it to say, the way that you look at this season will determine your success on the other side of it. We have a unique opportunity and we can't waste this moment with our families. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you've not been doing that or you've had a hard time. Listen, I get it. I've been through ups and downs myself in this season. There have been times when I've been a great dad and there have been times when I am absolutely sucking at it. That's not the point of this. The point of this is that the best day to get started on this is right now, is to start. Whatever happened in the past, it doesn't matter. We're hitting pause and we're going to rewind and we're going to start over and we're going to record over the tape that was played. So one of the two best things when it comes to the internal issue, right, is number one, to have self-compassion. And number two is to refocus your perspective. Let's talk about the external problem, the one that we all realize is there. there. And that's the fact that every 30 minutes, somebody needs your help or something is distracting you. There was actually a study done at the University of California in Irvine that said it takes an average of 23 minutes and 15 seconds to get back to task once you've been distracted. And that is pretty discouraging, but it also helps you to realize how important it is to make sure you are investing in keeping distractions at bay as much as you possibly can. And most of you are probably saying, listen, I can't control whether or not my kids are distracting me. Like, these are things that happen and I just have to deal with it. And I want to challenge you on that thought, because there are actually some things that you can do to help your kids function on their own without needing your help. And this isn't neglecting them, right? Like, you don't need to feel bad about this. This is actually helping them gain the skills to figure things out on their own. And that does a lot of great things. Number one, it gives you the time and space to work the way that you need to. But number two, that gives them the confidence to grow and develop and to become good adults when they're older, right? So the core of this comes down to a term called executive functioning. And it's something that none of us are born with. We have to grow and develop it over time. An executive function is this. It includes the ability to initiate, plan, organize, set goals, problem solve, regulate emotions, and monitor behavior. And some kids are easier at executive function, and some kids have a tough time with it. And we've seen that with our kiddos as well. Some of our daughters, one of them in particular, is really good at it. And the other two, we have to work with them, we have to coach them, and we have to help them. And so rather than just get frustrated and say, go deal with it, or blame it on their teachers for not explaining it well enough, we try to help them figure out how to problem solve, how to look at the thing that they're not able to figure out and figure out steps to take to get to a place where they understand it. There's a few solutions for this, and a lot of them are great, and some of them work really well, and some of them are pretty natural, and some of them take a lot of work. So here's a few. Number one is establishing a routine. And this is something that we've had to do as a family. Over the summer, I had my kids write down their schedule for the day. And in the schedule, it had to include a certain number of things to help them grow intellectually. It had to have a few things that helped them grow relationally with one another. It had to have a few things that helped them grow spiritually, so on and so forth. And they were in charge of their schedule. They could write it down. If they wanted to do the relational stuff in the morning, they could. If they wanted to do the intellectual stuff in the afternoon, they could. I gave them autonomy, but at the end of the day, they were in charge for setting the direction that they wanted to see happen for that day. And it was very helpful. In fact, most of the time, if I forgot to remind them to do it, they would come and tell me, hey, Daddy, are we doing the schedule again today? And I would say, of course. And they would go to their notebooks and they would write it down. So that was our routine. And they began establishing their own routines for themselves. And when kids know what to expect, then they will do a lot better when it comes to having to figure out hard problems or dealing with frustration. Another thing that we're going to start implementing is establishing the routine of when you can and when you cannot come ask mommy or daddy for help. And I don't know if your kids are like this, but a lot of times when they come to me and they ask me to help them with a problem, they don't even know what the problem is themselves. They've not even sat down and looked at what they actually need help with. A lot of times the interaction looks like this. Yes, how can I help you? I don't know how to do this. Okay, what is this? It's this. And then they just stare at their computer. And I say, that's not a problem. That's a computer. I need you to go think about the problem before you come and ask me for help. And so giving the kids a little bit of space to troubleshoot and figure out what is actually the problem before they can come to you and ask for help is actually more beneficial for them than if you were just to be there at their beck and call whenever they actually need help. So that's something. Establish a routine with your kids. Another thing, just as you need self-compassion, your kids need grace and compassion as well. Every time they come to you, if you respond without grace, it's going to make the situation worse. And listen, I get it. It's incredibly frustrated. You're trying to get work done and somebody is asking you how to multiply. And you're like, just Google it. I don't care, right? But when you do things that way, what happens is your kids feel bad. That locks up their ability to think and solve problems on their own. That diminishes their executive function. And then they have to depend upon you more. Because believe it or not, your kids are actually dealing with the same thing that you are, right? They feel really bad that they're not able to get the work done that they need to get done. They feel bad for having to interrupt you. They feel bad that things that used to be 100% available to them, like their teachers and other classmates to help them solve problems, are 100% gone. And so the best thing that you can do is to respond with self-compassion and grace with your kids. Another thing that you can do is develop systems for them. We've done this for a few things. I started noticing that my kids, when they came to me, didn't really know how to problem solve. They didn't have steps that nobody had taught them. Okay, when you are faced with something that you don't know, here's some things that you can do. And I actually responded to a post on LinkedIn where somebody was saying, so many productivity gurus offer so much insight, but none of them have kids. It's easy to be productive when you don't have kids. And so he asked for feedback on some things that people had done. And here's the solution that I had offered. We have a system called Before You Ask Daddy for Help Steps. And so what it looks like is this. Step number one, write the problem down. Because again, they were coming to me and they didn't even know what their question was. So the act of having to sit down and write it out, what do I really not know, force them to pause and to think about it critically. The second step was thinking about it critically, right? You've written it down, you know what the problem is. And so now you're taking a second and just pausing, right? Spend 30 seconds, spend a minute just thinking about it. What are some things that I have learned that will help me figure out what this question is? The third thing is use the tools that are available to you. So they're in Google Classrooms. And so I encourage them, look throughout the Google Classroom and see if there's something there that can help you with what you're working on. Another thing I tell them to do is to Google things. Nothing like having all of the world's information at your fingertips. And that is still available to my kiddos, but it's a skill we have to teach them. I have to teach them how to search for things. I have to teach them how to ask for certain things. For instance, my 7-year-old, a lot of times when she's reading a word that she's not seen before, if she doesn't know the definition, she doesn't feel like she can go on. She has to know the definition of the word that she's never seen before. And so I had to teach her, here's how you look for the definition of words, right? And that's kind of tough because she doesn't really know how to spell very well. And so typing in Google is really tough, but thank God for Google Home, right? Because she now knows she can say, okay, Google, what's the definition of acclimation, right? And this is seriously the things that she's having to look up because she is in the gifted classes. So that's step three, look for things that are available to you. Number four, make your best guess. And I have to be really careful with this one with my kiddos because sometimes guessing means literally just pulling out things from the air. And I have to specify, no, this is an educated guess, right? You're taking the things that you've learned and you're trying to put that into your best effort. So once they've made their educated guess, you move on to the next question. You move on to the next assignment. You give yourself a break from the question that you're dealing with. And then finally, come back to it and see if you know it a few minutes later. So that's the before you ask daddy process. When my kids come to me now, the first thing I ask them is, have you gone through the before you ask daddy process? And if the answer is no, then I send them back on their way to try to figure things out. And it's cut down the amount of time that I am interrupted significantly, right? It's gone from every 30 minutes to maybe once every hour or every hour and a half. It is very effective. And I want to encourage you to put something like that in place as well. It doesn't have to necessarily be that you're going to know your kids better than I would, but a process to help them problem solve and troubleshoot will go a long way, not just in this season, but for the rest of life. The final thing when it comes to a solution from the distractions that you're experiencing with your kids or anything else that's happening is doing a little bit of prep work on your end. So if you know a little bit more about what their classes look like, a little bit more about what the assignments are, it's going to be a little bit easier to help them. So for instance, I have their Google Classrooms pulled up on my computer as well. That way, if they need my help, I don't have to go all the way upstairs and look at their computer and try to find out what they're asking me. I can just go right into their classroom, figure out what the information is that they're looking for, and then direct them in that sense. And it takes a little bit more effort, but that little bit of effort will go a long way. Another thing that we did was make sure to set up their space, right? This took prep work. We made sure that they had desks, that they had poster boards that outlined their schedule for the day. I even wrote down the before you ask daddy process on those poster boards. Another thing that we did as a system was once you're all done, right? And so then we put things in place that they could do once they'd finished all of their classwork, so that they didn't keep coming to me saying, what do I do now? Then I would just say, what is your once you're all done thing say? Have you done all of those things? Once you have done absolutely everything and you don't have anything more to do, then you can come to me and I will give you something else. But here's the secret. There are so many things. They will not get done with those things in a day's work. So do a little bit of prep work. Develop some systems, respond to them with grace, establish some routines, and I guarantee you that you will not get distracted by your kids as much. And this goes for everything else. If any type of external problem when it comes to distractions that you have, looking at it from this framework, what are some things that I can put into place that minimize the distractions that I have? Because distractions are a part of life, and sometimes they can be really good if we're honest with ourselves. But the difference is allowing the distractions to rule you and feeling like you don't have any control over them, or knowing that there are things that you can do to minimize them so that you can keep working at an optimal rate. Okay, I hope those things were helpful when it comes to you staying the course in this season of life. And hopefully you know that you are not a prisoner to all of the external things that are happening around you. And while it might make it more complicated, it is still figure outable. Okay, here's a few more things that I have found to help me stay productive. One of them is called Cave Day. And I actually was on a Zoom call where somebody took us through what they do at Cave Day. .org. And what this is essentially a group of people on a Zoom call who are holding each other accountable to stay focused and productive. So you meet with a group of people, you have an instructor that takes you through a few things to help you focus and get clarity about what you're going to be working on. And then everybody just gets started. And then in 45 minutes, they ring a bell and you're able to say, I was able to get this done or I wasn't. And it was actually incredible. incredibly effective when it came to getting stuff done. I was able to get more done in 45 minutes than I had in a long time. So check that out, caveday.org. Another thing is called focusmate.com. And it's the same concept, but instead of doing it in a group setting, you're actually doing it one-on-one. And there are people who sign up for time slots, and then you pick a person, a mate, and then you get together, you share what it is that you're going to be focusing on with one another, and then you just get started. And as silly as that seems, having the accountability of another person who doesn't even know you and probably doesn't care if you even stick to what you said that you were going to get done, right? It does something to help you stay focused and stay on task. And I found that for myself, I need something like that. I need somebody that I can look up and go, okay, well, they're still working and they're still going after it. So I'm going to do that myself. So check out those two resources. We'll leave links in our show notes and you can check them out as well. All right. I hope that you have benefited from this episode and all the things that we have tried as a family. The most important thing I want you to know is you're doing just fine. You're being intentional. Don't be too hard on yourself in this season. Another thing I want you to think about is, have you subscribed? Have you left a rating or a review? Have you found this helpful? If you have, would you tell somebody about it? Would you reach out to a friend and say, this episode is amazing and it's going to help you stay productive? Doing that will help somebody else and it will help this podcast to grow as well. Next week, we have an amazing guest. I work with him. His name is James Nwobu. He's a fantastic marketer, creative, and branding all around genius. And he's going to be talking about personas, why they are important, not just in UX design, but when it comes to web design, building a business, and helping clients out. You're not going to want to miss it. Set your clocks, 12 a.m. Tuesday morning. We'll see you there. And don't forget, if you don't quit, you win.